This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, this week we return for the final chapter of My Week at the Magic Castle. Well, not quite exactly, and now that I think about it, I still have a few more individual podcasts that I had recorded with individuals that will take up a full hour with one person. But this is the last of the series where I actually have chatted with people who are knights of the castle, as I would call them, people who are performers and those who frequent the Magic Castle and happen to be there during the week that I was there, whether they're performing or just passing through. So this is the last of those four podcasts that I had recorded at the castle that was interrupted by the recent podcast that I was posting with daily updates from the IBM/SIM combined convention out of Louisville, Kentucky. So I wanted those convention updates to be fresh, and that way that those of you who couldn't attend could feel as if that's the next best thing to being there by listening to all the sights and sounds. Well, let me say at least the sounds. You can imagine the sights, I guess, in your head that went on at the convention there in Louisville. Anyhow, so we finished with the daily updates from the convention. Now we return to this fourth of the series of My Week at the Magic Castle for this year in 2017 with some interesting chats with some interesting magicians, and I think you'll enjoy getting to hear from all of them. And the guys that you're going to be hearing from will include Simon Colonel and Armando Lucera, Carl Chrisman, Paul Green, Martin Cox, John Armstrong, and Bruce Gold. So, relax and prepare to enjoy a whirlwind trip to the Magic Castle backstage here on the Magic Word Podcast. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are still here at the Magic Castle. Actually, we're wrapping up the week right now. It's Sunday evening, and I finally had a chance after Martin Cox's lecture here to sit down with Carl Chrisman, and he is my guest then right now just to say, hey, how you doing, Carl?
Oh, wonderful. Thanks for having me.
So you've been on opposite of me, so I've been doing early close-up. You're doing an early parlors. We can't see each other's show or anything over there. So I've talked a little bit on the podcast about some of the things I'm doing, but tell us, what are you doing in the show there?
I do.
What are people missing?
Oh, absolutely. I do pure mentalism. It's all about reading people, influencing them. There's basically two things that I try to show people, how psychology can work to either understand people better, read their minds magically, or how to influence them. A lot of it's psychological, right, and how I can direct them one direction or another.
Are you doing some things that are actually from your regular commercial show that you're just kind of just compacted down to a smaller amount of time?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I just take kind of the cream of the crop, the best effects I have that I can squeeze into 20 minutes, a tight 20-minute show. And it just it takes work to get it to all fit that quickly, because mentalism, it can go on and on, so trying to make it as tight as possible. But it's a great audience here, because it's people that come ready, excited to see magic, and so we just jump right into it.
I would think that by doing the early show, it's an advantage because they haven't had a chance to drink a lot, because sometimes the more they drink, the harder it is for them to kind of...
Yes, it's definitely a more sober audience.
And as you said, part of the problem is that you're having to condense this a lot. And with mentalism, you have to establish your character and let them know also to kind of think about what's going to be happening. And so how many effects actually are in your show?
Well, I actually do three effects during my show. But what I've started doing in order to establish character and everything beforehand is I have a pre-show video. I've got about 10 or 15 minutes that start before the actual show.
So as people walk in, they
As they walk in, they're sitting there. Because the way it works at the Magic Castle anyway is they pre-seat the audience about 15 minutes ahead of time. That allows them to fill the room if it's not very busy. And then the servers come in, they take drink orders and get everything ready. And I realize people are just sitting there for 10 or 15 minutes doing nothing.
Brilliant.
So I've got a whole video which has a couple of little short, funny intro things that get people into it. Yeah. Some just weird Magic Castle trivia things that I made up. And first of all, it entertains people. It makes sure they don't get bored. I don't want there to be a dull minute there.
Right.
It establishes who I am. And also, it extends my time. I only have 20 minutes in there.
I know. That's
brilliant. I squeeze a 30-minute show into 20 minutes.
Now, there is a television screen I noticed that you use. I didn't know that was there. Is that something new they've added, or did you bring that?
That's in there. In my normal shows, I use a screen whenever possible. I find that when I do corporate events, usually they either have a projector and screen there, or if I ask, they'll get one for me.
Right.
So I have all sorts of effects. My final prediction ends up with me in various parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a video intro that sets it up for me. I figure I could either have the host read a pre-canned intro telling them who I am,
mm-hmm.
or I can just play a video where I have a nice voiceover artist, footage, everything, set everything up, and then I have a few things throughout the show that use videos. So that's from my standard working mm-hmm. working show.
In that case, do you bring your own video?
I have mm-hmm. all the videos here, and I just plug into the
right.
TV here or
right.
other places, plug into a projector or whatever
right.
they have.
I've noticed that's something that's going to be more and more common at some of the shows in Las Vegas, that they will have something. It's a pre-show for that very reason. You have a lot of people who are just kind of sitting around doing nothing or talking next to a neighbor that's sitting next to them or something, and it's dead time basically, and so it's brilliant to let people know your character and establish the character, so when you come on they already like you and know you.
Yeah, absolutely, that's the goal there. I mm-hmm. want to make sure they're excited before I walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Some people know me, but for those that don't, I want to make sure if they just randomly ended up in my show, by the time I walk on stage, they can't wait to see me
right.
because I look like a fun guy.
Right. You know, I used to think it was important to surprise the audience. In other words, that I want to be behind the curtain, or I wouldn't really be out, or if I did some pre-show or something, mm-hmm. that wouldn't be too apparent for it. But the point is that I feel like, or felt like, that that when they see me for the first time, then it's wow, that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've just recently, for an example, here at the castle, I've been going out before the shows begin mm-hmm. to talk to people, open the door. I say, they'll be sitting here pretty soon, but I just want to say welcome, thanks a lot for coming. So that kind of engenders myself to them, so that way that they know who I am as, hey, he's a nice guy, he's welcomed me to
Absolutely.
The show,
Yeah.
Because once I'm in there, you're right, the time is tight, and I, mm-hmm. Last time I was here, I was saying, hey, you could be doing something else. I want to thank all of you guys very mm-hmm. much for coming out, and I'll shake the first two people's hand
yeah.
in the road. And I said, we don't have time for everybody. But
Absolutely.
When I go out beforehand, I actually do a little bit. So I think that is an important aspect of letting them get to know you and see you and who you are. And, hey, he's a regular guy.
Absolutely. I start out, when they walk in, I'm in there and I hang out. I talk with the audience before things start. I use pre-show all the time, not because mm-hmm. I have to, but because I only have 20 minutes.
Sure.
So it's all a time management thing. Let's start off. Let's get things ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'll choose volunteers just randomly before we start. And all of that hopefully gets... builds that relationship, so it's
right.
they see, oh, seems like fun.
Right.
And it seems like just that big intro where they've never seen me. That works if I'm trying to be larger than life.
Right.
I'm just trying to be a friendly guy that they want to hang out with. So I'll just go out there, and as the video's playing, I'll maybe walk out
right.
and make a comment. If I hear on the other side of the curtain
right.
people say things, I'll walk out and answer them. And
right.
So, yeah, it's a lot more laid back.
Now, how do you move your show along? In other words, a lot of times people I've heard them say metalism
yeah.
is boring, and
yes.
it certainly can be.
Oh, absolutely.
Those guys who are professionals that I've seen work, of course, Banaschek and Chris
yeah.
Carter and so many other guys,
oh, yeah.
They really move things along. What do you do to kind of keep things exciting?
Well, when it comes to choosing effects, I try to avoid... process-intensive kinds of things.
Good.
They have to count, if they have to spell, if they have to go through a number of steps,
yeah,
I get rid of it.
Yeah.
I love things like pre-show
yeah.
and just very direct effects.
Mm-hmm.
The easier, the cleaner the effect is, the better it's going to work. And the other thing, I think, is just the personality.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the same effect interesting or boring based on the way you present it.
Right.
So I just try to have as much energy as possible there.
Right.
There's video cues that go along with some of these that make it more interesting. I've got sound cues, and then just mm-hmm. energy. Just run out there and do it. Some that are really trying to belabor the point and make it as real as possible. So they'll take a minute or two to get one word.
Yeah.
It might seem more real, but it's boring. So it needs to go
yeah.
fast. If I have this power, I can do it fast, so
right.
we try to keep it going quickly.
Yeah, I remember Tim Conover used to almost dance on the balls of his feet. It seemed
yeah.
like, it was like he was so excited, all the time to do something, like that. So, yeah, I think that's important that you're going to be able to let people see the energy that's in you, and that way you're having a lot of fun, as opposed to, drawing something
Absolutely.
Out and count the cards or anything like that. Yeah, you need to get rid of that.
And just, it needs to seem like you're having fun.
Right.
So when I go out there, I can't wait. Let's do this. This is going to be amazing. as opposed to if it's process, you will think of something then I will get that information.
Right.
Yeah, it's not that exciting.
Last time I was here, I was working with Bob Cassidy, rest his soul, and we had a very long chat. And I always like to talk with people, but he was kind of the king who was always the one who was saying you need to establish your powers.
Yeah.
So what do you consider your powers to be? You know, whenever that, what powers do you present yourself on stage? Clairvoyance or?
There's just two things I can do. I can read people and I can influence them. That is all I do. I've gotten rid of things I love. I love spoon bending, but I got rid of it just because it didn't match
the rest of what you're doing. You're doing too many things. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in addition to performing, also I'm a professor of communications, so all this fits together. Mm-hmm. I read people non-verbally. I understand. I try to get clues from them, and then I try to influence them using psychology. Mm-hmm. So if people ask, I don't have any special psychic powers, but I'm so attuned with other people and reading them, communicating,
right,
that I can do all this. But people don't usually ask, and I think mentalists often focus too much on this whole thing. Is it supernatural, or is it just the five powers used to create the illusion of the sixth? Mm-hmm. The audience doesn't really care as much. I just go out there, I'm going to read their minds, I'm going to influence them.
That's, and you don't use any disclaimers, I assume.
I don't use disclaimers, but my intro video and the introduction presents me as a professor of communication, so I think it's implied. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't contact the dead, and I don't give people relationship or financial advice. I feel no need to use a disclaimer.
I think it's interesting when you talk about the professor of communication, because I was just talking with Armando Lucera earlier about how you present yourself. And sometimes if you say the word magician, you know, suddenly they put you in a certain category.
Yes.
But if you're using something like that, then a professor of communication, they think, okay, well, he must, you know, teach at a university, or, you know, so therefore it's more important, you know. And so I'm willing to spend some time and talk with you. Oh, he's, you know, as opposed to he's a mime or a clown or a magician.
Yes.
They kind of put you in one bracket, you know.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Well, absolutely. I definitely, I pitch myself as a mentalist, partially because I just want to separate myself. I guess it depends on where you are. Mm-hmm. I'm in Southern California. There's the Magic Castle. There's lots of magicians. And I just want to separate myself. Mm-hmm. So I don't do magic. I do mentalism.
Yeah.
Which is similar things. I just frame it differently. So I can do the exact same effects. It's just, it's not a magical thing. It's a power of influence. It's something else. And I find that helps me fit in better with corporate clients.
You do mental magic?
All of that.
What do you think about that?
All of that is subjective. Okay. For me, mental magic is where you have all the different steps and different processes. Mm-hmm. I try to keep it as simple as possible, so I don't think what I do is mental magic. Mm-hmm. Other people might disagree, but I try to keep it as clean as possible, as few steps as I possibly can.
And when it comes to cards, do you use like postcards or business cards instead of playing cards, or do you use playing cards in your act?
I don't use playing cards, and let's see, I don't... I used to use postcards and things like that, but I find I don't even do that anymore. I just don't use cards. I guess the one exception, I had a holiday gig last year, and I found it's really great to make friends with the other people working there. So I was hanging out, talking with the AV guy, just having a conversation. And he said, let me show you something. So he walked me over to the other side of the this big banquet hall and pointed up, and about three stories up, there was a card stuck to the ceiling.
Wow.
And he apparently had just seen that last time he was there. I don't know how, someone else had put it up there. And he said, you can use that. I said, yes, I can.
Yeah.
So I don't carry cards with me. I ran down to the local gas station. I picked up a deck of cards, and I quickly practiced the only card force I basically remembered.
Yeah.
And I went around, and I did card on ceiling, because you can't pass up that opportunity.
Yeah, right.
But generally, I don't do cards, because there's a lot of other people that do, and I just want to be different. I'm the only one that... predicts myself halfway around the world on a video. I'm the only one that... actually, I take it back. There is one where people throw business cards with information written on it, but I don't do any sort of manipulation. It's just they all throw them up to randomly choose it. Here, it's been a interesting experience cleaning up, because I've got three shows a day, 60 people in each show. Mm-hmm. Each person writes down a location anywhere in the world they want to go. Mm-hmm. They throw them up at me. Makes a huge mess, and then an audience member randomly selects one, and then that matches where I appear on a video, either in India, China, Niagara Falls, Las Vegas, Florida. I'm all over the place. So it's been an interesting experience cleaning that up, because after each show, we got to get in there. But that's the only cards I use.
I remember years ago, Michael Lamar telling me this story, and this would have been like in the 80s, I guess, or something. And he was at the Dallas airport, not Dallas, Fort Worth, not DFW, but he was at Love Field, which is a smaller terminal for Southwest. Well, anyhow, he did a card on the ceiling because there was a big dome, and he wasn't doing it for anybody. He just thought, I'm going to leave a card up there. It's really cool. And after he threw it up, then the security guard, you know, came over and was, you know, kind of looking up the ceiling, and he said, it's kind of cool. And he said, I did that. And he said, how soon will I come down? And he said, it won't. It's going to stay up there. That was the wrong thing to say. He said, that's defacing the, public property, government property or something, and kind of got in trouble. I can't remember if they actually had... I'd heard one story, and I don't know if it was this one or another one, which they actually had to pay for scaffolding, to get the card down, because it was so far up. They had to build the scaffolding and have somebody come in, union laborers. It was a heck of a mess. Well, how's your week been going? I mean,
it's been great. I'm having a blast here. This is one of the best places you can work because the Magic Castle has audiences that come here excited for magic. Mm-hmm. They're primed. They're ready to go, and... I'm enjoying it.
Have you worked here frequently, or is this your first, last? Second? I hope it's not your last.
I hope it's not my last. I'm here all the time. I live in the area, so I've been a member for probably 12 or 15 years now, and been performing here for the last 5 or 6 years. Yeah. And I'm here all the time, either performing or just hanging out, just enjoying it.
Yeah. Now, when you say you live nearby, I mean, it's not easy to get here because it's near the Hollywood Bowl and you can run into traffic all the time.
But. I'm an hour away, but okay, I figure relative to Texas, it's close enough.
Yeah, well,
hour without traffic.
That's across town for us. Yeah.
5 hours normal, but without traffic, it's an hour.
Well, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for your time. Real quickly, that since my podcast is called The Magic Word, what is your phrase or philosophy? What is your magic word? What do you live by?
This is really dark and disturbing, but my dad had this saying he used to share with us, which was, in 100 years we'll all be dead, which can be taken negatively, but it also just means don't sweat it, just enjoy. If there's someone that doesn't get along with you, eventually it's not gonna matter. If you had a bad day, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. If there's problems in your life, it doesn't matter. So don't take things too seriously, don't take yourself too seriously. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing on most days, and there's some bad days, but just if, in the grand scheme of things, you're not enjoying things, go a different direction.
Excellent advice. Very good words.
Yeah.
Very good. I'll leave it with that. And so, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Carl Crispin, and this is Scotty Al.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Scott Wells, TheMagicWordPodcast.com, and we're backstage of the close-up room here in between. You know, it always good. It'd be good if I hit the play button. I'm just getting used to this.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll remember everything.
All right. Back here with Armando Lucero, whom you'll be hearing more from in an exclusive podcast later, and then with Simon Colonel, who's happened to be in here. So, hello, Simon.
Good to be here.
And good
always
to be
a pleasure.
I'd like to have you because you've got an official, a really good accent as opposed to the Cockney one we've had.
It's my most marketable quality. He says, re-ad-libbing.
And your good looks, too.
You know.
That's marketable as well.
We'll have to take a survey on that.
I did go to the Fringe Festival just actually yesterday, and I saw Infinitesimo. What it was?
I haven't seen it myself yet.
Well, yesterday was the last day, so
not see it.
I guess you won't. It was magic and mentalism and music. It was excellent. 55-minute show. Now, you said you were doing a Fringe show too?
Yeah, we did an experimental show with three friends, John Armstrong, John Lovick, and Nick Paul. And the whole theme of it was I put my software engineering background to good use and created an interactive live voting system people could use on their smartphones. So they could we dressed it up as a competition and just, deliberately made fun of each other's acts and so on, make it very, very lighthearted. So they could vote live on their smartphones.
Which was a different outcome with each show.
Genuinely, yeah. And so it was suspenseful for us because we don't know what the outcome's going to be. The vote's real and the results come up live on a big animated bar chart on the screen above the stage at the end. And there were interim votes and all kinds of other funny gags we wrote into it, but having this live interactive feedback system was a really interesting experiment.
Now, how many shows did it run?
Five.
Okay, that's a lot of work just for the five shows. Or is that something you're going to take on the road?
Oh, definitely something. Well, I can now sell this system to other people, because we can also customize it to have any kind of interaction via smartphones in any kind of show. And so already I'm thinking about other ways you could use this, having people vote on what they want to see next, having people, interact via surprise predictions that appear on their own phone screens during the show, all kinds of stuff like that.
So is this an app that people then would buy or download?
Well, it's not so much an app. It's a website that you would navigate to, which is better than an app, because an app is dependent on whether you're iOS or Android or some other independent system. system, a website is device agnostic.
So they just need to make sure that they're logged in, I guess, to the Wi-Fi.
And you have a thing at the start of the show that says, open your browsers, go to this website address, and the whole thing pops up and they can interact
with it. So if someone is interested in purchasing that, how would they get in touch with you?
They'd have to just talk to me because it's not in a saleable form at the moment.
Okay. I mean, how they get in touch with you?
I'm whatever app you have open, type Things by Simon into it.
Things by Simon.
Things by Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. No, okay. It's whatever it is. If it's on Facebook, it's / Things by Simon. Right. If it's Twitter, it's @ Things by Simon.
Right. Now, your name had come up earlier in the week for me because that whenever I came here, the first thing they said was that you're going to love the new lighting system that they've got over here because they've done so much. And I said, you know, I remember years ago that Simon had actually put a spotlight up in there and spent a lot of time just trying to get this focus to have the right lighting. Yeah. And that, you know, unbeknownst to the rest of people, that they didn't even know you were doing that.
Yeah.
So anyhow, the lighting is much better than...
Well, it turns out I just discovered literally days ago, apparently, and this sounds like me tooting my own horn, but apparently my thing was the reason why this happened, why the new lighting system's there.
And that was like
it caused a big argument
ago.
In the Board of Trustees meeting, when they were going, well, this guy put a spotlight in, why can't we have a spotlight? And that was apparently the catalyst years back when I was doing that. So trying to fight for the cause of good theatrically staged close-up magic. Am I right?
Am I right? That's right.
I remember when they didn't allow music in here.
What?
Now, tell Holy us, crap, you and I talked about that last night. You were talking about that.
Yeah, 2002, I came in here, my first time performing here, and somebody was sitting out there from the board and had his arms crossed, staring at me down, and I was putting out the speakers, and he says, there's no music in close-up. True. That's what he said. Then I brought out the little crystal ball that I pull out of a piece of paper when I tear a hole in it. Mm-hmm. He goes, that's a parlor trick. You can't do that in here. And I go, wow, this is amazing, you know?
How things have changed.
Yeah, well, you know, theater is theater is theater, no matter where it is, no matter what size it is. So I didn't understand at all.
Right.
I was really ready to quit the first day.
You're not going to let me do my show. That's right. That's right.
It's ridiculous, the arbitrary constraints.
I know.
You know the story about how, and my knowledge on this is hazy, John Lovick told me the story about how way back Ron Wilson fired Guy Hollingworth.
What?
Because he was doing card tricks in the parlor. And in Ron's opinion at the time, card tricks are close-up magic.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing.
It's ridiculous.
This was in 2002,
absolutely,
by the way.
Absolutely insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
And obviously that has changed a lot, so they can even do close-up on stage. Like you were talking about with the Illusionist, you're doing it for 2,000 people on stage.
Well, it's not close-up if you're doing it for 2,000 people.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. It's on a stage, so it's stage magic.
It's stage magic. In fact, I had this problem every time I go to a convention. They say, are you going to do close-up? I said, no, there's no such thing as close-up for 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to do the coins? I said, yes, I'm going to do the coins. So you're going to do close-up? I said, no, I'm not going to do close-up. I do that on purpose because if I try to explain...
Change your mindset.
They don't get it. But if they ask me questions and I beat them up a little bit, you know, in a nice way, then they're forced to think about it. And I had this problem in 2006, FISM. They said, we want you to do close-up on the stage. And I said, well, there's no such thing as close-up, so I should just let you know right then and there that I don't consider it a close-up. And then they go, oh, okay. And they thought, oh, stupid artists.
Yeah.
You know, then they said, we'd like to send your tech sheet in to all the artists. They sent an email.
Yeah.
Close-up magicians don't have to send a tech sheet in. And then I wrote them back. I said, I'm not a close-up magician. I'm a stage magician. I'm performing on stage with a camera and screen. I'm a stage magician. I am sending you my tech sheet. And they were like throwing up their arms, all pissed off and stuff.
Yeah.
Then they said, how much time do you need rehearsal? Close-up magicians, don't worry about that. You don't need rehearsal. Literally. So then I show up. I told them I need rehearsal. In fact, I would suggest that all the close-up magicians need more rehearsal than the stage magicians because stage magicians have experience with all the technicians that are going to help them. We have no technicians helping us. And most close-up magicians have no experience using a camera. They need rehearsal. And the camera guys need rehearsal because they don't know what they're doing because they're just getting a local college group to film it.
Right.
So I show up. There was no rehearsal. Nobody knew what they were doing. And on top of this, all the stage magicians were bringing in assistants to help them with the technical stuff along with the technicians that were there. So they flew them in. Tickets were paid for. So I requested that my friend, who was also my manager at that time, I said, he's flying in on his own money. He's getting a hotel on his own money. And I just want him to be able to come in and help me out. And they said no. They wouldn't give him a ticket to go in, and they wouldn't give him the freedom to walk backstage to help me out.
It's amazing how magicians are so often magic's own worst enemy.
That's true. And it's, well, you remember though,
it's just so, it's so just myopic and narrow-minded and short-sighted and just dumb.
Well, you remember that it was Johnny Ace Palmer who had actually won FISM with the close-up act, basically, and he was on stage.
Yeah. And well, but he wasn't a close-up act because he was on a stage. That's exactly right. Literally right. The opposite of what the word means.
If it's on stage, it is there stage is magic. No close-up.
But he got close-up. No, he won Grand Prix.
That's why it's called stage magic, because it's on a stage. Doesn't matter what you do on that stage. That's what the word stage magic means.
If you do the mini cubes act for 20 people at a bar, is it close-up magic?
I was about to say that same thing. Yeah, right. I guess it would be close up because if you're doing it in here, we are zigzag, stuck
on labels, and you're on and you're on a stage, which means you have stage lights and stage craft and stage hands. It's called stage magic. It doesn't matter the size of the props or what the routine is. It's on a stage, so it's goddamn stage magic.
Once again, language is powerful.
Yep. Yeah. Well, like you were saying earlier to us about how that. Well, we're going to go to the main show now. Well, this is a main show.
Oh yeah.
You know,
that's an unwinnable battle though.
Yeah.
Because that's a battle for the public eye.
That's true. That's,
yeah. I don't think that's winnable.
I just think
anymore.
It's interesting that most of the people that I have met that come to see magic, who are familiar with magic, they run to see the close-up. Really, yeah, seriously.
Usually, let's be honest, usually it's a lot better. The Palace show is usually the weakest show at the Magic Castle.
Hmm.
By far. If you come here a lot, you notice that.
Very strong. You are going to get in trouble for saying that.
Hey, I'm just telling the truth.
Well, it's close up the spade as a spade.
This week it's a very good show. Yeah. This week is unusually good.
And I think Simon Cornell is in that partnership.
It's going to be a while before they have me back now. Be a while.
And on that, I think we'll take a wrap. Okay, so
before it causes any more trouble.
That's right. Since it's going out to both of our client people, listeners. So for the Magic Word Podcast, Simon Cornell and also Armando Lucero. This is Scotty out.
I'm too young to be this honest.
Hello, Scott Wells again for the Magic Word Podcast at the Magic Castle on Sunday night, and I'm here with good friend Paul Green. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, Scott. How are you? I always say good morning, and there's
regardless
a reason for it.
No, you can explain that.
Well, it's always the beginning of my work day.
In the evening is for most people, whenever you do.
Whenever
so when do you
I
sleep.
Sleep is for the weak.
Yeah, you sleep when you die.
That's what I've been told.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Very
right.
Getting closer as we continue our conversation. So how's your week been here at the Magic Castle?
I've had just a wonderful time. This week's been just a lot of fun with great audiences. Again, as I was just talking with Carl, that of course everybody comes to the castle who likes magic, so they expect to see good magic. They see good magic, and they applaud appropriately.
That's,
you know,
that's why I only work here once in a while, because they come to see good magic.
Oh, no. Well, you do great magic.
Well,
I think that you have one of the most commercial routines and everything. How is trade show business going, by the way?
Trade show business for me is rather slow right now.
I think about for everybody. That's why I was curious about
I don't think so. I think that when you have a good product and you're able to follow through on your promises and you work well with the company, you work well. So those people there, you know, lots of people that are out in the industry, wishing them good luck as well.
Yeah. Well, there are new people trying to get in all the time, too, just like on the cruise ship business, it seems like, you know, that, and of course, cruises are always looking for somebody new and different, and so they are not necessarily looking for the same people they've had all the time, although that they're proven winners, but they also are looking for fresh faces, I think.
Well, I think that what happened tonight, I've had this happen over the years, is that the people that hire us get used to us, and familiarity breeds contempt. And it's that they want to see something new and fresh.
Yeah.
Even though you or I are going to do a fabulous job working for them, promoting their company or entertaining them, they're just tired of seeing that, whereas our audiences change.
Right, regardless of our experience and what we can present, they might want something new and fresh. You know, it's funny, I was just talking with a buddy of mine who is an attorney, and I was asking when he's going to retire, because he's 66, and he said, probably not until I'm 75. There's no hurry. He said, I'm doing fine, I love my job, and he said, being an attorney, let's go this way, being an attorney, the longer you're at it, the better you are, because you have learned a lot. You know, the younger people are the ones who have to really study harder, but once you've experienced it, you have all this experience, and then it comes easier. So
that's
in other
right.
words, that, and it's, plus if it's something you love, then you can do. And so I think the same thing with magic. You know, a lot of things that we could do because we know methods, and it is a lot easier. But they may be looking for someone younger.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. You know, when you walk into an executive's office and they're 25 years old mm-hmm. or 26 years old, and they look at you and they look at me, you know, oh, my grandfather's coming in to do magic tricks, and they go,
So, yeah. Yeah, well, I used to color my hair, and I've stopped doing that, even growing the gray beard. I'm kind of taking on that persona. In fact, that like what I'm doing this week is as the runner-up to the most interesting magician in the world.
Fantastic. So that's a great hook.
Yeah.
Great hook. Well, I'm always glad to see you, Scott. I'm glad that you got back here to the Magic Castle.
Thank you. Very good to be here and see all the friends and everything. So I've been having a great time. It's good seeing you. And
always.
Stay well.
Thank you. You
okay.
too.
And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Paul Green. This is Scotty out.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all the way from London, England, a man who has never won anything. Please welcome Martin Cox.
All right, still here at the Magic Castle, Sunday night, and I thought I would talk with my good mate who has been spending a lot of time with me. And if you've been following me this week on Facebook, probably seen a lot of his pictures, well, all over the place, where we've had having breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. And so he has been just storming the palace. And so please welcome Martin Cox.
Hello, Scott. How are you doing? All right.
Fantastic.
I'm in my dressing room.
Yeah, here we are in your dressing room right now.
My dressing room. My own.
Yeah, you feel like a star then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like just a bathroom star. With a hook.
No, that's right. Right, it's not people coming in to go to the toilet.
Yeah, excuse me, and kind of bump out of the way.
Can I use that cubicle? Trying to change.
Yeah. Now, it's been a while since you were last at the castle that you were working in the WC Fields Bar, which has changed a lot even from the time you were here. And so now's the first time that you're on the stage, and not just that, but compeering, emceeing then as well. How's it been?
It's been brilliant. I've had such a great time. Everybody's, the staff here are great. They're really looking after us. You know, I've got no complaints there. Food's great. Mm-hmm. They give you a butler. I shouldn't tell you that, but they give you a guy and he comes and he sees you all right and makes sure you're getting food and stuff, and you order your food and stuff, and the crowds have been really good. And they did say that the later crowds can be a bit rough, but
because they've been drinking.
Yeah, but I haven't found any trouble at all with them, and maybe that's because of the way I am on stage. You know, I'm a bit as the word, how do I put it? You know, I take control straight away.
Well, you do, and not only that, what I've seen a couple of shows as well, that if somebody does start to give you a little bit of grief, that you sort them out straight away, so this way that they know you're in charge.
Yeah, it's not harsh.
No,
I don't do
no,
it in a harsh
they're not hecklers
way.
Or anything.
Not hecklers, no, it's done in a sort of tongue-in-cheek way. But if you straight away off the bat, they can say, well, no, we better not mess with this guy, otherwise he's going to, you know... He's in charge. Because I'm on stage, I'm in charge.
Exactly. Now, when you are over in the UK, do you have hecklers over there, and how do you handle them?
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing as here. You do get hecklers and people, but you just deal with them. There's lots of different things you can do. Mm-hmm. The best one is that Keith Fields in his book is, you say what, and then they have to repeat it, and the second time it's not funny. So,
that's a great idea.
Yeah. So the second, you know, it's like doing the joke twice in a row. So they say it first time, and then you just go, what? Like you pretend you didn't hear it. So what? And they do it again, and then you just look and go, oh, yeah. So that's why you're down there and I'm up here. You know, or anything like that. But you don't have to say anything. You just say what, and if they have to repeat it.
Yeah.
And the timing's off, so you killed the timing.
Right.
It's like someone saying something in the middle of a joke. I had it yesterday. A little girl. It was in the in the Fingers show, she said something right in the middle of, just before the punchline of the joke, and absolutely killed the joke. Mm-hmm. But I had a bit of banter with her, and it made it quite nice, but it just killed the joke.
That was the children show, the brunch thing?
Yeah, the brunch show. Yeah, the brunch. I've been doing the brunch shows as well, and they've been really good. And the kids
I saw the brunch you did here today, and that was really fun and funny. Had some good kids, because I hadn't thought of you as being a children's entertainer, but the way that you handle the kids, you know, it's brilliant, I think, and very funny that you're not abusing them, you're not, you know, picking them up and throwing them around the stage or whatever, or manhandling them, you know, just saying, stand right there, but don't come up on the stage with me. Hold on, right? You know, you got a lot of funny lines and things with them.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, it's just things, you know, come up and stand on that step and don't smile so much, stop upstaging me, all that sort of thing. I'm not having you up here with me because you're a cute kid, and I'm not, you know, and that sort of thing. And so it's nice, and because there's adults in there, I'm sort of really, I'm playing to both, you know. And it's nice thing. It was great yesterday. A little girl shouted, "There comes the funny man again!" When I came on the second time, which is really nice. Oh, it's that funny man again, which was really nice, because you don't, you know, don't. Obviously, I don't work with children, but it's nice to get that now and again, especially of a kid seeing that they can recognise what humour is, even though they don't get the jokes, you know. And they're not rude jokes. I'm not saying they don't get them because they're rude. They don't get the jokes because I'm using sarcasm and irony. Kids just don't get sarcasm at all, you know. So
now,
you know, in a nice way. I don't want to put my way, you know.
Now, children over at the Magic Circle, do they have a day for families or kids that they let in?
No, they don't. No, they do one night. They do the Meet the Magic Circle,
the Monday night thing.
Yeah, and then they have the Ali Bongo shows, but you can only get in them if you're a member of the Young Magicians Club. Or if you're a performer and you can have your family come. So they're the only reasons you get, but there's somebody related to magic within that, in that band. I suppose that's a bit like here, that you have to know somebody who's a member to get in.
Yeah, definitely so. You have to, you have to be a member or a guest of a member or a guest of a performer. You know, I don't know if you've received this, but I've certainly received a lot of emails before I got here from just random people saw that I was going to be performing and saying, hey, it's on my bucket list, or it's my birthday, or I'm moving, and this was, I want to do something before I leave or whatever. And, you know, I'd like to, it would mean so much if I could be on your guest list or something. You get emails like that?
Yeah, I've got quite a few of those. And the first one I responded to in a good way, saying, oh, yeah, sure, no problem, because I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I started getting them, and I thought, oh, and I've said yes to this one, and now I feel a bit uneasy because I kept getting lots and lots of them, and I checked it out with a couple of guys, and they all got different ways of dealing with it, and one was just ignore it. So that's what I've done. I've ignored all the rest, but luckily for me, this one emailed me and said that something happened in the family, so they can't come anyway. So that sort of let me off the hook.
Well, that may or may not necessarily have been true. You know, this is, you know what catfishing is? Catfishing is where that someone is pretending to be one type, like a woman, you know, let's say, but they're really a guy or something, But in other words, they pretend they're somebody they're not. And from what I understand, when I've talked with some of the guys about how do I respond to these as well, there are more this year than I've had in previous years when I've been here. And I was going to start to respond, and I asked a friend, and he said that you probably shouldn't, because that what a lot of people do is they will then get the guest pass, and then they will sell it on eBay, because this is you can't get in here again without a pass or something, and so that way that they try to make some money, you know, that way. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because the last time I was here, I did respond. I gave out some guest passes, and the people never came to my show, didn't say thank you, so I figured they never showed up or whatever, or maybe, and also when I checked the guest list, they said no, they never checked in. So it could be that that they did sell it to somebody else, and they came in under a different name, you know, said they wanted to change it or something, but they never did you know, say anything to me. It's just kind of funny, because it is a very exclusive kind of place. Well, the Magic Circle is even more exclusive, it seems, that they're only magicians only. They don't have a lot of guests that come in, do they?
Yeah, no, you can't really get in there unless you're a magician or a friend. We've had a few people come in because they're, you know, they're famous, or because they're friends and they've come to show around, but it's not an open, it's a sort of unwritten law that you don't just take loads of people with you when you go, you know. You can sign somebody in, but you have to be there. It's one of those really things you cannot, you have to be there for them to turn up and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's a slightly different.
Well, by the way, that talking about your show, it is funny, and the introduction that people would have just heard on this podcast whenever it came into you, the segue I had from the previous guest that I just talked with, was actually a recording that I had from today's show, so that way you hear the music and also the introduction of Martin Cox, someone who has never won any award or whatever, and people laughing. It gets a good reaction. I mean, it's a good way of trying to get people to know your character before you actually walk on the stage.
I have won lots of awards, by the way.
You just don't want people to know about it.
Don't want anybody to know.
It's nothing to do with magic.
No, all like swimming certificates and outbidding people on eBay for them.
That's right. You know, of course, in baseball, like what we hear, everybody is you get a participation trophy, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he turned up, so he's giving that. That's an award, isn't it, right? No, I have won, a British champion comedy of Magic 2003 and some other stuff, you know, not worth mentioning, really. No, they are worth mentioning. But, you know, I won a few things. I won stuff at IBM and British Ring and stuff like that. And, you know, but I think I'm trying to set up this because I'll get that little laugh before I come, so that they're even laughing at me or, you know, before I walk out, which I think is key to the character that I'm trying to thing. So the introduction is Martin Cox has not won anything.
Right.
Which is great. And I just find it, and I don't want to say pretentious, but a lot you get that multi-award winning magician, of what? You know, it's only important to other magicians.
Yeah.
You know, if you say he's won this award, that award, and that award, only magicians know what that award is.
That's true.
So, you know, it's like when I say I'm a member of the Magic Circle, I just say I'm a member of the Magic Circle. I don't say I'm a member of the Inner Magic Circle. Because general public don't know what that is.
Well, that's the same way across the states. Unless you live in L.A., the Magic Castle doesn't necessarily mean anything as far as part of your introduction of to the general public. Like if I'm in Houston and saying that he's a frequent performer at the famed Magic Castle in Hollywood, okay, well, that's just a mouthful that could just as easily. I mean, people are thinking Magic Kingdom. He's working Disneyland or something. Yeah. You know, they don't know the Magic Castle. Here they do in L.A., of course. But there'll be very few people who understand what it is. So I think it's the same way with any kind of credentials, that you should be careful how you use them as to what it's actually going to achieve for you. Whenever that you're getting to use that in promotional material, particularly when you're being introduced, you know, I think the less said, the best said, you know, being introduced. Like as I said, it was very funny just saying, here he is, a man who's never won any awards, Martin Cox, boom, you know, Bob's your uncle, come right in.
And, you know, then the setup for my character is that there's no music and I just amble on. It's not like I don't want to be there because it's the wrong wording. I don't want to say that. So I sort of walk on and I have this attitude, I just glance at the audience. So I don't look at them straight away. I don't go centre stage and smile and all that.
Right.
It's just I wander and I go and get my other props from the other side and pull them on stage myself.
Right.
And then I walk back to the middle, you know, and I do my balloon joke, you know. And within that is my introduction, you know. So everything is, and then because there's a really good strong joke right at the beginning, so I've set them up with a laugh before I've come on. And then they're laughing because they don't know what to make of me. And then it's sort of like, well, he's a bit serious. Is he? What's he going to do? That's what I'm thinking. And then I do that joke, the balloon joke I do.
Right.
And as soon as I do that I've got them. They're in the palm of my hand. I know which way to go. And I talk to them. And, you know, it's a very conversational act rather than I'm not. I sort of do talk at people, let's put it that way, but it's very sort of friendly and conversational and not, you know, look at me, look how good I am. I've never really liked that sort of persona of, I'm the best one here.
Sure, you've got to make fun of yourself a little bit, yeah.
So
yeah,
I make fun of myself and stuff like today one of the children was crying, started crying, and the mother took it out. I just went, oh, she's a bit disappointed that it's not Shrek, you know, and because that's my nickname is Shrek, and then and she got Uncle Fester. Well, all the adults laughed because they made the connection to what I was trying to say because of the way I look. So, you know, and that,
Speaking of that, along the line, you know, yesterday I was thinking for the first time that if you would have walked on to a silhouette of Alfred Hitchcock,
yeah,
you know, so that way that you fill in and the spot is hitting you, you know, and that way you turn to the audience, good evening, you know, yeah. Because he was English, had an English accent. And the reason that resonated with me is because that there was somebody sitting behind me this afternoon, said, he looks like Alfred Hitchcock. And I thought, that's what I was just thinking yesterday.
Right. I've never heard Alfred Hitchcock before. I had lots of different things, but never Alfred Hitchcock. Yeah. That's because, oh dear, I think I put a bit of weight on while I've been here.
Since I've been here in the U.S.
It's an awful pie they keep giving me.
Yeah, they've been feeding as well. That's for sure. All right, well, listen, I thank you very much for your time, and we got to get ready, you know, for our shows here then short. I've had a great week and spending time with you. You've been great mate. It's been so much fun.
Bloke. No, well, you're a good bloke, Scott. You know I like you. You know, I don't care what anybody else says about you.
It's just you and me. You'll always have my back, right?
Oh, yeah.
I need somebody to get my front. Anyhow, in the meantime, that was Martin Cox for the Magic Word Podcast. Here from the Magical Castle live, this is Scotty out. Okay. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and this is going to be my sign-off over here. It's late Saturday night. Actually, it's Sunday night, and it's actually Monday morning, I guess. It's after midnight. And we're here at the W.C. Fields Bar, and I've got Jack Goldfinger, the entertainment director. Hello, Jack.
Well, you saw me coming, and I see you going.
I did, yes, right. And I want to thank you, and you enjoyed my show?
More so. I'm here just to say, Scott, you fooled me. You actually did. And that's
that
no joke.
Good.
And my middle name is not Gullible.
Thank you. You make
Welcome.
My day.
I look forward. The Academy of Magical Arts at the Magic Castle looks forward to your return.
You make my week. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate it. Say hello to Dove.
Yes.
Have a wonderful week. See you next time.
Okay.
And I'm also, as I said, the W.C. Fields Bar, and that we also, this last weekend, you know, that of course, in the Peller Theater, you've got other people who are performing over there. It was Bruce Gold. Right there he is. Hey, Bruce, you want to say hello just real quickly as we kind of pass by? You remember having Bruce on here earlier? Hello, Bruce.
Yeah, hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. You and Dave, again, did a great job as the Evil Twins.
Oh, thank you.
My favorite act.
Thank you. It was a fun show.
It is a fun show. Now, have you taken that on the road anyplace else? You performed that anywhere?
No, we've been doing it here.
The Fringe Festival or anything like that?
We have an eye towards that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
As you know, we both perform on our own, and then we came together to do this show, and we do things in this show that we only do in this show, and we do it maybe a couple times a year, although we hadn't done it previously for 2 years, so it was good to be back, and we added a couple new bits. Each time we do it,
Has it been 2 years? That's how long it's been since I was here. Same time 2 years ago?
Yeah,
holy cow, okay,
yeah.
We have been here together, okay, funny.
And so every time we did it, we added a new bit at the end, and we have a new one now. And this time, the one we chose kind of wraps up the theme in a more harmonious way than what we did in the past. So it's always a learning experience for us, and the show always grows, and we may take it to festivals and other places beyond this. I know Dave also has another show called The Charlatans, which is like an improv magic show.
Just a one-man show? Or?
No, it's he and another gentleman, and my buddy Dave Cox is also in the Evil Twin show with me. He's a very talented improviser and a teacher of improv and a director and a writer. And he and a buddy of his is also an improvisational actor. They created a show called The Charlatans, which is a comedy magic improv show.
Okay.
And so that's another show that you may hear of coming to a festival near you.
Okay.
So, yeah, being creative and having the opportunity to perform our creations is the real satisfaction for, I know, myself and probably Dave and most of the other people who do it.
Mm-hmm. That sounds fantastic. Well, good luck. You got stuff here you're hauling out. I mean, that's a big show that you're doing in the Peller Theater over here.
We envy the mentalists who show up with a briefcase.
That's right, a clipboard, and that's all you need.
Right.
Good. Well, thank you very much. You did a wonderful job. I always enjoy seeing you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your friendship.
Thank you, Scott.
We'll see you.
Cheers.
That was Bruce Gold. All right. Come back over here then to John Armstrong here for just a minute.
Okay.
So now we have John. My big question to you, John,
what's
is you've
kind of
you've been working here at the W.C. Field Bar the last few days.
Yes, I have.
So my question to you that is
burning in your mind.
Burning in my mind is, what did you really think of the Wonder Woman movie?
Oh, well, it's amazing. It seriously is. And it's the first
DC, of the modern DC film since The Dark Knight that is actually, like, amazing and worth going into. It's so good. It's so, so good. Did you like it yourself, Scott?
You know, I have not yet seen it. You really have rocked my world when we started talking about comic books the last time that we did podcast. You were in Houston, and we were talking about the... what was the art of comics, I believe, that you had suggested?
Understanding Comics.
Yes.
Understanding Comics, yes. The best magic book ever written.
It really was. You know, I downloaded that and...
Did you read it?
I did. I read it.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, it was fantastic. And being an artist in more ways than one, that it meant a lot to me, and I really enjoyed seeing it.
I'm so glad, man. That's
yeah, great. It really did. And I liked the way the guy had talked about leading you through art and making this, you know, and appreciating comics as art and not just as something. Well, anyhow, it was fantastic. But not only that, just in fact, I see you're wearing a skull.
Oh, a skull pin. Yeah, that's just because I like it. I just think it looks cool. People ask me about it all the time, and then depending on my mood, I will tell them it means something, but really it doesn't.
Well, I ended up buying a pin because I love the pin you were wearing last time that was saying the School for Extraordinary Children.
Oh, yes, right. From Dr. X. School,
yeah,
sure.
Xavier School for, yeah. And so I went to the comic book store and I got one. I used to wear that and people would,
that's great,
what is this pin? So I thought, well, yeah, after what you were wearing. But yeah, you changed me after I'd listened or I'd chatted with you over that podcast over there.
Man. Well, you got to go see Wonder Woman. It's really
I am excited about
very,
seeing
very
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it's very, very good. I'm really looking forward
to it. Now, you say it was one of the best of the comic book series?
Yeah, it's one of the best comic book movies made. It's probably one of the best movies made, honestly. This is a really strong film. It doesn't feel contrived. It doesn't feel like it's pandering to anybody, to one group. It's just a strong, smart person doing a really, you know, doing great things in a time with the world, you know, especially it's a movie, it's set in World War One, which is a time period that people really don't talk about much.
No.
I mean, after the second, everyone talks about the
Second
World
War,
not the First World War.
Right.
And so to do the First World War and to make it, like, you know, really interesting and engaging and what those people were dealing with, because, I mean, they were dealing with the first time of use. It's the first time that, like, warfare starts being, like, guys marching down, you know, in lines, charging at each other, you know, in muskets with little bayonets and stuff like that, to where people were actually, like, dying in, like, bombs and trenches and mustard gas and all that stuff. Modern warfare. And so...
Hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah. This one scene, I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but this one scene where she goes into battle for the first time, I don't want to say anything more than that, it's just amazing. Like, you're with her and what she's doing and the whole thing, and you feel like you're really there, and it's beautiful.
You feel that it's true to the comic?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. She should be a spirit of hope and strong female power and just strong power in general, and that's what she is in this movie. It doesn't feel dark. It doesn't feel like Batman versus Superman, where it's just dreary and ugh. It feels happy and, you know, exciting, you know?
Right.
It's a kind of feeling like, you know, there's certain movies that when you leave the theater, that's my guidelines. That's like I want people feeling the same way people felt when they left the theater after the first Guardians of the Galaxy. When people leave my show, I want people to be like, that was amazing, pumped up, you know? And if we can bring our magic to that level of some of these films, you know, and make people, like, you know, have that experience as a personal thing, you know? Imagine, you know, like, the same kind of CGI, but they're getting to experience it in real life, you know, because the magic that we're doing. That's what, you know, that's the kind of specialness we bring to people. And I think you get that in Wonder Woman, and it's a shame where some films are dreck, you know, and it's basically using that exact same tool, the same toolbox we all have, right? The same toolbox these guys have to make the CGI, and it looks, it's the same thing, and it's just people beating up other people, and other doesn't matter, and it's just same thing with Bad Magic, you know? You have some guys who have the same toolbox we all have, and they're taking the same things, and they're playing with the tools, but they're playing with the tools incorrectly. And
right.
They're not doing this, they're just not having the same impact. And so I'm inspired by anything in which someone has the tools and is going out and using them well, you know? And that should inspire us in any kind of medium that we're working in.
Right, right. Going in a completely different direction for a minute, that since we last talked also, I spoke with Marcy Hume about the movie Magicians, which was the one that you had started in, one of the four guys who were in there. How has that affected your life, and how has that changed you, or what have you gone on since then?
I don't think it's changed me much. I mean, like, I am... I mean, I looked at myself when we were in the dailies, and that's when I started wanting to lose weight because I've changed, you know, a lot of my eating habits and just how I look and all that kind of stuff. That was important to me. So that's a change. But as far as like I am that same person, you know, and I'm in a much better position now. What's kind of funny is that people assume that it was like because of reality TV. The events of that film were very recent. They weren't.
It was four years ago.
Yeah, it was 4 years ago. 2014 is when the last time they shot anything. And so it's a long time ago, and I'm very happy, and I'm in a very committed relationship with a wonderful woman, and all I'm doing right now is stand-up. I'm doing so much more stand-up. I'm on ships all the time. So my career is very different than what's portrayed in the film, but it's still me. That was a slice of my life at that time. So the movie hasn't changed me, but it was definitely a nice stepping stone. And there's not a week that goes by that some random person on the internet doesn't find me online because they saw the movie on Netflix and go, "Hey, saw the movie, thought you were really great in it." I've had people at the ships, you know, see it, and then I sell the movie, you know, after the shows, and people will watch it in their rooms and then come back to me and tell me how great they loved it. Right. So yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have that record of that time in my life and learn from it. I think that's the best way to do from it.
Right. And another subject, and talking about, I just spoke with Simon Colonnell just a little bit earlier about the show that you guys just recently did.
Right, yes, and, named that Magic Show.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the development of that and where you think you're going to be going with that.
Well, it's the show is a four-man show now, but it can go in all different directions. I think what's really great is the technology that Simon created for it that allows people to live vote from their cell phones.
Yeah.
And we can then put that up on the screen, so we can use that for different sort of game-related magic things where, you know, here's a trick you can only do with one hand, or, all right, everyone's got to, you know, say these three words in their patter for this particular trick, or everyone has to do the linking rings or whatever. And people can vote and live vote. So it has a lot of applications, I think, for magic clubs. It has applications for live shows, for teaching experiences, lots of stuff. It's really fun. But as far as this show goes, and what we're doing with it, it came about really just because the four of us wanted to do something fun at the Fringe, and I was already doing my solo show.
I was going to ask about the solo show, how that's going.
Yeah, it went really well. I had a good time. Really, I was, again, just working on new material.
Is that kind of like a Ricky Jay show kind of a thing?
No, I'm not doing close-up. I'm very much trying to stay away from cards, even though I'm a card magician for the most part.
Right.
I'm trying for these shows as an experiment. I have two major sort of, I wouldn't call them restrictions, but let's call them restrictions for lack of a better term. I try to stay in one, meaning I don't bring people on stage, and I try to do things that don't involve cards.
Okay.
And I include any flat rectangular piece of paper in that. So it's not like I'm just going to replace cards with number cards or something. I mean, I try to avoid cards or anything involves picking things and choosing and that type of thing and remembering.
Right.
So it's more about, you know, more visceral experiences. And I'm not saying that I'm against any of that stuff because I'm one of the biggest proponents of card magic there is. I love card magic. But the experiment is to allow me to build as much material as I can that is different in contrast, so that when I add it into my card stuff that I do on stage, then it the show feels like it has valleys and peaks and different flavors to it, and feels more like a variety show and less like card trick, card trick, card trick, card trick, card trick. And you could definitely get variety in card magic by itself.
Right.
You just mentioned Ricky Jay. But this is just, again, like I said, an experiment to be able to play with these pieces that are in one.
Yeah.
So that I can take this in one piece and place it between two pieces where I get two people on stage or one person on stage. So it doesn't feel like the entire show, okay, now I need somebody to come up on stage. Okay, now that trick's done. I need two more people to come on stage. Okay, now that trick's done. Now I need two more people to come on stage.
So
it never feels like the magician is there by himself and actually just speaking to the audience. So again, to create this material and give me sort of a reason to do it, a challenge, I said, okay, I am going to create an entire show where no one ever gets on stage the entire time. The entire show is just me on stage, and I am going to hopefully find a way to connect as much as I possibly can with people, even though I'm doing monologue or in one magic.
Right.
And that's it. That was the plan. So it was an experiment for myself to me to be able to build things. And then it was fun, and people seemed to really like it, and they enjoyed the show.
And what are you going to do with it from here?
I'm not going to take that show and do anything with it. I'm going to take that material and intersperse it with other things, and then build more textured shows. Because I'm not saying anyone should work completely in monologue. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm saying that this was a challenge to be able to see if it could be done, and now that it can be done, how can I then take that and apply it to where, okay, I bring one or two people up for the entire show or whatever.
Right.
You know, that's right. It. So it's like, it's weird little restrictions I put on myself to challenge and spur my creativity and get me going so that I'm not complacent. There's a quote, I think it's Steinbeck, but it's leisure, comfort. No man has ever overcome these terrible atrocities. and that's it. It's like any time where I feel uncomfortable or I got my act and my act is all solid, that's the time where I need to go, okay, I'm gonna wipe it all out, and I'm gonna try to start again so that I can start building new things. That I don't want to be complacent. I always want to do new material and
keep moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. That's the plan.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So that's your future, also.
I think so. I mean, that's just working on new stuff, you know. And hopefully, being able to share that with the magicians, but also at the same time keep it to myself and just do good magic and share with lay people and
make people happy.
Make people happy. That's the plan.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, John. It's always a pleasure to spend some time with you as well. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I've got to come back to Texas. I want to come hang out. We got to go to that burger place again. That was good.
It was.
I like that
indeed.
Place.
And so from the Magic Castle, we're going to wrap up, and that was my week at the Magic Castle over there, and here we are at the W.C. Fields Bar, and that was John Armstrong from the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out. Well, my week is over, so I thought it'd be kind of a good time now to recap while I'm waiting here at the airport. It's not too early. I'm at Burbank Airport, and as I recommended at the very first podcast over here, if you're going to be coming to Hollywood, the Magic Castle, you probably should use the Bob Hope Airport here in Burbank. It's the most efficient way of getting in and out, just about 20 minutes away from the castle. Not bad at all. Although, if there's going to be, and also, of course, flying Southwest Airlines is the best. And I would say that, traffic is not bad as long as you don't get on the freeway. Goodness sakes, there was a fellow who was working early last night with me. And I got a call from Jack Goldfinger about 4 o'clock and saying, hey, can you come and do the early as well as your regular shows beginning at 7 o'clock? And I said, sure, I have no problem. So I got dressed, came across the street. He said the problem was that the fella, Mike Elkin, was having problems on the freeway. Apparently there was a fire on the freeway, and then he got past that, there was another fire, and then there was an accident like right in front of the castle, I guess, there on Franklin. Anyhow, one darn problem after that. They finally got there. Actually, got there around, I think, 6 o'clock, and was able to do some sets. But he said it took him 3.5 hours to get to the castle. Goodness sakes, how can you live like that? Well, a lot of people do, and you just kind of get used to it. Anyhow, I had a great week, a lot of fun. I chatted with a lot of guys and gals. You have gotten to hear some of them already. And also I wanted to give you kind of a little flavor of the area and what we're doing. That's why I went to Musso and Frank's for famous for their martinis, of course. I say of course. You may not know that, but they are. and it's the oldest restaurant in Hollywood from 1919. Anyhow, a lot of little backstory and some color of color narration, so you kind of feel like it's you're here along with me on this trip. It's been really great. There were a lot of guys I wanted to talk to, didn't get a chance to. For an example, I did chat, as you heard earlier, briefly with Bruce Gold, and he was part of the team who was in the Peller Theater with Dave Cox on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Fantastic. Great show. Love these guys. And the funny thing is that I happened to work with them 2 years ago. They hadn't been back in 2 years, and I hadn't been back in 2 years. And we both happened to, you know, be there on the same night again. Love Dave. Dave is a great script writer, great comedian, performer, everything. Wonderful fella, good friend. Regret that I didn't get a chance really to talk with him, to even just say hello. And the chat I had with Bruce was very brief. He was just on his way out, and I was trying to run over to speak with John. It was midnight last night, as the castle was closing on a Sunday night. So anyhow, And so I just kind of got snippets of conversations with some different people in different places. So again, you kind of got the feel of this. And I didn't get a chance to talk with Mondre. He was one of the acts that was performing on the stage and a longtime friend. And he was killing it. Actually, every room in the house was doing very well. And I know people were satisfied who would come into the castle to see everyone they did. This week, the clairvoyants, Tommy Tin and Amelie, will be in. I talked with Jack Goldfinger last evening. He was running to the airport to go pick them up. They were staying over at the Lowe's Hotel just a block away from the castle over in Highland. But they were going to be starting at the castle here this evening. So I didn't get a chance to see them because by the time they came in, then they went straight over to the hotel and didn't come by the castle last night. But you can go back and listen to a full-length podcast I did with them. Just do a search for Tommy Tin and Emily, and you can hear that. This was, I think, last July at the IBM convention or sometime a while back. Anyhow, great week, a lot of fun, good acts in all of the rooms, and I had some wonderful chats. Some of these you'll be hearing in upcoming episodes. I'm not sure how I'm going to be releasing these yet, so if I have released them, then I hope you've enjoyed them. If I haven't, some of the upcoming voices that you'll be hearing with fellows I've chatted with will include Armando Lucero, and I think this one's going to be one of the top 10, one of my favorites. Golly, it was just fabulous with a lot of really great ideas. He's a pretty private person, so you don't get an opportunity to hear his point of view and his ideas. So this is fascinating to get an insight into this creative genius of a young guy. I say young guy, yeah, he's closer to my age, but he's younger than me. And also with Sarah Ballantyne, talking about her father, Carl Ballantyne, and also Orson Bean and his wife, Allie. And he has a relationship to magic and kind of how he got into what he does as a comedian and as an actor and voiceover and guy and what he's done over the years. So anyhow, he started off as a magician, so it was an interesting conversation I had then with him, too. Golly, there's somebody else I'm sure I'm probably forgetting in there that, John Cox, yeah. I went over to talk with him about the wildabouthoudini.com website. That's a daily blog that he updates with, believe it or not, new information all the time with Houdini. Anyhow, these are coming up, or perhaps they may have already passed. I'm not sure how I'm going to be releasing these, but I know you're going to be enjoying my week at the Magic Castle. Had a fabulous time, as I said, and if you get a chance to come out here, any week is always a good week to enjoy magic. So I'm at the Burbank Airport right now. We're going to be loading up here in just about another half hour. They don't have a Starbucks. That's the only problem here. They got a Pete's, P-E-E-T-S, Pete's Coffee. Not quite the same as Starbucks. Besides, I don't have a Pete's card, whereas I've got the Starbucks app that I can buy a coffee. And I can buy you a coffee, in fact, next time I see if we get together. And if we don't, maybe you can buy me one. And a good way of doing that is just to help support the Magic Word Podcast by going over to the website, and you can click on the Donate Now button up in the top left, or that you can go to patreon.com and you can give it one time or as little as you want. You know, just think about buying me a cup of coffee or a drink or something once a month, as a thank you for enjoying this podcast and what I've been doing and putting all this together. So again, you can surf over to themagicwordpodcast.com and click on one of the tabs over there that will say become a friend of the Magic Word, and you can learn more about how that you can help support us with your financial means. And if you can't, then that's fine. Please continue to enjoy. Tell your friends about this. And I would also say that if you use Amazon.com to buy anything, and I know you do, then be sure to use the affiliate link through the MagicWordPodcast.com. Where that you can then go to Amazon, and through the affiliate link, then they help support us also. So you can support us by them supporting us by using that link. Well, I think I've kind of gone on. I'm going to enjoy my coffee here. I just had a carrot cake muffin. So I think it's moving, and I've got two also. So we'll be moving along. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the day. And until next time, stay well, get booked, and what's life if you can't live it? This is Scotty out.